You are now tuned into the Truth Frequency.
We are TFR. TFR.
Truth Frequency Radio.
We have before us the opportunity to forge for ourselves and for future generations a new world order, a world where the rule of law, not the law of the jungle, governs the conduct of nations. When we are successful, and we will be, we have a real chance at this new world order, an order in which a credible United Nations can use its peacekeeping role to fulfill the promise and vision of the UN's founders.
Hello and welcome to Angry Beaver Radio here on TruthFrequencyRadio.com, broadcasting live out of globalist-occupied Mother Kanatistan, FEMA Region A, just north of the border, eh? So,
hey.
What's new this week, guys? I don't,
has anybody been following the Scamman games?
Not much. I saw a little bit in the headlines that apparently Kanatistan's doing pretty good in the medals. But other than that, I don't follow sports generally, and most of these sports are really obscure. They don't have a big fan base. I have no idea. All I know is Kanatistan's winning.
Well, I heard how is Canada winning?
I think we got the most medals or the most gold so far.
What do you mean? We have anybody here that can do anything?
I don't know. what kind of sports do they play in the Scam-Am games? Like, what do they do? Like, throw bottles at cars or? I don't know.
I don't understand.
See, that's the thing. Most of the population doesn't even know what games take place. I know there's the velodrome. They ride around on a bicycle in a circle. Only costs us $56 million. But, yeah, I mean, I don't know anyone that is going to see these events.
And then a few years ago in China, Beijing Olympics, most of the Chinese, I believe, had the gold medals. So something's going on.
So you think
here I can understand we don't have much to offer.
Oh, maybe some rigging going on. Some cheating?
Yeah, that the Beijing Olympics, apparently there was supposed to be apparently underage girls that were competing that were not the right age, underage. So that was a scandal there. That didn't get too much headway or headlines.
Right. And then there was Germany. They entered two cheetahs in at the 100-yard dash. Cheetahs. You know, it's
real cheetahs, right?
Yeah, cheetahs. Like, who's going to run a cheetah in a 100-yard dash? Nobody. I mean, it's like, come on, guys. So.
So the cheetah won a gold medal?
The cheetahs took gold.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I don't know either. Well, they have diving and stuff of that, swimming and cycling there, and they have a few other things to make it look like we're doing something.
I wonder if there, we have any transgenders in the Pan Am Games. It'd be called the Trans Am Games.
Yeah, probably.
Because this is becoming more of an issue, because this is, you see this more and more, that a professional athlete who is dressed up in makeup with long hair, looking like a woman, actually has the body of a man and is a man biologically, but self-identifies as a woman, so competes in the women's league against actual women, and then goes in there and starts kicking ass and taking names because physically he's a man. So, I mean, in relation to professional sports, when they're being pressured to accept these men dressed up as women as actually being women. So pretty soon we're going to have all the women's leagues of professional sports filled with transgendered men that couldn't quite make the pro league and the men's league. So they put on a dress and played for the women's division. You know?
Interesting. I mean,
Just wait. It's coming around the corner, and it's going to be people who aren't even transgendered. They just figure, hey, I can make $100,000 a year playing for the women's pro team. if I put on a dress. I couldn't make it in pro basketball in the men's division, so I slap on a dress and I can, but I can play in the pro league in the women's division. Haha. I mean, it's just, I don't know. Where do you draw the line? Like, you got Olympic athletes, some Olympic male athlete competing in the women's division. I mean, it's...
Well, maybe they can play in both divisions.
I guess. That's what you should come up with, the Trans Am Games. The, it's the Olympic Games for transgenders or something.
Well, that's where boycotts come in.
Boycotts?
Transcots.
Yeah,
transcots,
yeah.
Transcots,
boyscots. Boy scouts, yeah.
No, that's down at the Pope's, Catholic church games.
Oh.
Ooh.
Now,
Johnny's out there to help people, to spread the peace, you know?
He's out there to spread the UN New World Order government.
Oh, jeez. Oh, jeez.
The new Pope, he's out there on a globe-trotting campaign, and we talked about it when he first started spewing off about this, and he hasn't stopped. Like, it's just been ridiculous. He's the Pope, promoting the New World Order under the United Nations, and we all just need to hold hands and sing Kumbaya. And, it's the most absurd, ridiculous thing. And I'm looking at it from an agnostic perspective. I can't imagine what fundamentalist Christian or Catholics think of this Pope. They probably think he's like Satan or something. They probably do. Yeah. They go, oh, he's Satan. He's working for the devil. And, well, I guess one could argue that he is, but, it's just ridiculous to me. He's just a propagandist front man for the United Nations.
Maybe she's wrestling the WWE.
He's out there. He's whoring himself off. He's a PR whore for Rockefeller and the boys.
Yeah.
It's a joke.
It's a joke. How come that joke is not very funny though?
Like, doesn't he have any dignity? Doesn't this Pope has no dignity, no shame? Just a big neon sign is a propaganda media whore. Insert coinage. I don't know.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Well, the previous popes have said some outlandish things, but they, you know, it was just a little bit here, a little bit there. And, you know, one could argue the context of these things either way. The new pope, he's just like, everything is naked and exposed. You know, he's a UN, Rockefeller globalist agent. And that's it. New world order all the way. He's on board. He's ready to go.
They all are. All the everybody in Congress and governments that way. They have to go along with it or that's it. Their job over.
You know? Yeah, and you know what? The old popes seem to be that way too, but just not as overtly, you know, out in the open doing it.
Oh, I mean, John Paul II or somebody like that.
Yeah. I mean, you know.
He was more easier on the eyes than Benedict Arnold there.
By doing this, it goes against a lot of the Catholic beliefs, and it alienates their base. So I'm sure a lot of the Catholic fundamentalists are not impressed with this new pope. Probably think he's Satan.
Well, do the lower Catholics even know their religion inside and out? Without doing any research, they just say, okay, the religion or the church, and that's it. They don't.
Well, I mean, it's probably like a case by case basis.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, probably is a case by case basis. But yeah, I've talked to quite a few Christians and Catholics that are not happy with this new pope. You're like, well, what's up with this new pope? And I don't even insult them. I don't even, you know, I just want to see what do they think. And they don't have too many nice words about the guy. So.
I don't talk to anybody about religion, basically, or the Pope itself. I've never asked anybody their thoughts.
No, and I don't mean, when I say these things about the Pope, I don't mean to offend religious people. It's really just that he's not who, you know, everyone thinks he is. He literally is just a media propagandist for a new world order under United Nations.
Which he called for, right?
And I mean, he continuously calls for this sustainable development, all this garbage, routinely, over and over and over again. It's not just like one slip of the tongue and we took it out of context. No, this has been going on for like a year now, over a year. So, Mm-hmm. He's just, and again, I'm not saying he has all this power and he's gonna implement these agendas. No, he's just a propaganda agent, towing the party line for the globalists. So,
exactly.
I mean, he's a nobody. He's just a propagate. He's a spokesman stooge man. Like a guy on an infomercial trying to sell you UN garbage. Like that's all he is.
Like a Harper or an Obama type thing, puppet.
Yeah, another puppet. Yeah. To me, that's my opinion of it. Now others would say, you know,
he's the real deal, eh?
He's the real deal. He's up higher up in the pyramid in terms of power. I'm saying he's just a spokesman. So there's only so much blame you can really cast on the propaganda spokesman or the puppet. Hmm. You know, like an Obama or a Bush or a Harper or, you know, the Pope. I mean, at the end of the day, he's the puppet. You really, to go after the problem that people are dissatisfied with, they got to go after the puppeteers.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
If you want to cut that tree, you don't start cutting it from the top. You cut it from the bottom.
Well, I mean, it depends. If you got nowhere for that tree to fall, you're going to want to start from the top.
Yeah, that's true. If there's any buildings or anything around. Yeah.
Sorry to wreck your analogy and change the topic completely into cutting down trees, but I am a beaver and I know somewhat something. If you want to cut a tree down fast, easiest way, cut it down at the bottom. But if you got nowhere for it to fall, you may want to take it down from the top and take little bits of the branches down till you work it down to a little nub.
Yeah, just like a pyramid, you have to start at the top because that's where the big ones are.
Yeah, start at the top. Yeah, I don't know.
Oh yeah, for sure.
Anyways, now that we derailed the
well, you know, they we can start at the top, but they always start at the bottom with us. That's what they do.
They make decisions at the top and then start crumbling the bottom, yeah. That's
right. Exactly.
These are all people chosen, like Pope Benedict and everybody else, Obama, whoever, they're all hand chosen. And that's why they're in these positions, you see. It has nothing to do with us. We don't, elect anybody. As far as I can see.
They're selected, not elected.
Of course they are.
Yeah.
Yeah, and even if you go to the polls, even if, you know, you vote for one puppet or the other, they're both puppets of the same
puppet masters.
Yeah, so there's no real democracy or, you know, it's ridiculous. If voting mattered, it's been said that they'd make it illegal. You know, yeah. I don't know.
Yeah.
If that's true or not, that's just an old saying, but. I mean, voting mattered. Is there a way we could make voting relevant again? I guess it's possible, but you'd have to find another party outside of the fake two-party system. Mm-hmm. And it's hard to find, especially in Canada. We've got lots of parties here. And they, time and time again, they come up as being controlled by the same two-party system. Yet we end up with a five-party, one-party system, a fake five-party system. Working for the globalists, every party. So what good is that? We're not going to solve the problem. The problem is the globalists. We need to kick the globalists out of the country and out of our politics and out of our affairs. That's the issue in every country right now.
Well, I think they were the ones that created politics in the first place.
Yeah, exactly. Give the slaves, you know, the illusion of freedom, the illusion of choice. Meanwhile, their choices are owned by the same people, the same power elite.
Yep, exactly. Well, that's what, because I looked at a picture of Obama, like him in 2009 and him 2015. Boy, he's aged quite a bit. I guess all that stress and everything else is catching up to him.
Yeah, all that golfing and signing executive orders via phone. Must be tiring.
Yeah, he's getting that writer's cramp too. I see him walking around with a wristband.
No, I mean, he could be stressed because, you know, he's just a puppet. He knows he's a puppet and he knows that, working for his puppet masters, he's broken the law and the constitution so many times that he could be looking at, you know, 10,000 years in jail.
That sounds like eternity to me.
Yeah, just give him life sentence after life sentence for every infraction. But I mean, again, he's just a puppet. It's not that, you know, if you had Romney in, you'd have the same treasonous puppeteer breaking the same laws. So,
but they know what they're doing, though. They know they have to be a puppet and have to, you know, have to go against America and anybody, everybody itself. And that can age a person. All this stress, he knows what's going on. But it's a nice fat paycheck he gets, and you know, that's why he's doing it. You know,
he gets time off, play golf, do what he wants. A real president never would do that.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I don't think they've had a real president in a long time.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true, yeah.
Like, what did Clinton do? Run around playing golf and saxophone, and Bush ran around and played golf, and, I mean, and they were all globalist puppet man agents.
Go ahead, John.
Well, I was gonna say, it's the same with, Kanatistan's leaders and previous leaders. We've had Harper, who's a globalist puppet. Who else do we have? Pierre Trudeau was a globalist puppet. Brian Mulroney. I mean, you got Justin Trudeau who's running. He's a complete globalist puppet. There's no choice. You got globalist puppet number one, globalist puppet number two, and globalist puppet number three. Which globalist puppet do you want to vote for?
Yeah.
And now globalist puppet number three is proposing, well, if I'm elected, I'm going to make voting for a globalist puppet mandatory. Yeah, Justin Trudeau wants to make it mandatory that we have to vote for one of these globalist criminal puppets that are working against our better interests. So, I mean...
Just like Barry Satoro, same thing. He wants mandatory voting as well. They all do. And the globalists are, you know, putting in these
And it's like, things. Why does it even matter? It doesn't... The vote doesn't even matter. Now you're going to make me vote for a globalist puppet? What? Mm. Under threat of fine or something?
So are you saying that, he's saying that you can only vote for the two or the three parties? That's it? Or did he say you can vote for anybody you want, but you have to vote?
Well, it'll start off with you can vote for whoever you want, but I'm sure they'll narrow it down to, it's only really these two or three main parties, because the other ones, well, it's a waste of a vote if you vote for a third party. They'll start it off like, oh no, everyone has to vote, but you can vote for whoever you want. And then slowly, they'll just edge out all the little independent ones.
I wonder if there's any other candidates running in the States next year have any royal blood in them. Because I know Obama has, I think, one or two royal bloodlines, and so does the Bush dynasty as well. So I was just wondering if any of these other guys have that as well. Because they like to keep it in the family, right?
So. Yeah. Well, if they do, it's probably not very much, because they only want the really strong bloodlines in there. So it's going to come to Bush and Clinton, and Jeb Bush is going to get in, hands down.
I heard Harper and Trudeau were trying to have a love child and merge bloodlines.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
They're having problems doing it, I guess, because they're male and male can't really. Who's?
Yeah, it is.
Neither of them are getting pregnant. They're finding.
Yeah.
Damn.
Well, keep trying, guys. Something might happen.
Yeah. Fingers crossed.
I was reading a few days ago on a government website the Freedom Act, the new Freedom Act that's put into play, and I didn't have to read too much when I saw the word terrorism. I knew right away that it was the same as the Agenda 21 and everything else. You got the spying on internet and cell phones. That's in there as well. And, you know, and you have to show documents. You have to show, you know, whatever. You have to show it in court. You know, you have to give all this information of who you were talking to, what you were thinking about. You know, it's the same thing, exactly.
Right, the thought police. But, I mean, this Freedom Act, now this is the most ridiculous name I've ever heard. I mean, has nothing to do with your freedom. It has everything to do with destroying your freedom.
Uh-huh.
It's just like the Patriot Act. It has nothing to do with being a patriotic American. It violated the Constitution in so many ways. It was ridiculous. I mean, it was an act that was basically against the law of the laws of the land in America. So when they ran around with this big PR stunt saying that, oh, well, see, we got rid of the Patriot Act. and Obama and his administration say, well, yeah, we got rid of the Patriot Act, is right when they rolled in with this Freedom Act, which is basically Patriot Act part deux. So, I mean, that's all it is. The Freedom Act is Patriot Act part deux, and your Constitution has been crammed through the wood chipper a second time after they took it out of the meat grinder, and that's it. And they're running around patting it themselves on the back on mainstream media. Say, see, we got rid of the Patriot Act. We love America and Americans, and we'll do whatever's in your best interest. Vote for me this September, or whenever it is, November, whenever the hell their elections are.
Yeah, and it also says in there, spy on these people or these governments who are sponsoring terrorism. You know, and you get the U.S. that's doing all and supporting and funding all these terrorist groups, dropping, you know, weapons on them to, you know, to fight all these governments and that. You know, and the U.S. is probably number one in doing that, but they're not talking about that. They're just talking about foreign people, foreign governments who are doing it.
Well, they're not going to investigate themselves, you know.
The general public doesn't understand that NATO and NATO allies created Al-Qaeda, funded Al-Qaeda, armed Al-Qaeda. They created ISIS and ISIL and funded and run ISIS and ISIL. They still fund and run them. ISIL is a proxy army for NATO. Not against NATO. That's their army. Now, the public doesn't understand this. They think we're going to get ISIS. No, they're not. ISIS is like a scarecrow. They plant ISIS anywhere they want. They say, okay, we're going in to get ISIS. And then they take over the whole region using ISIS. They never get ISIS though, do they?
Nope.
They do take over that country and they do take over their natural resources, or they bomb the living crap out of their natural resources.
Yeah, that's exactly what they're doing.
Well, that's what they did in Syria. They said, ISIS got all these oil rigs and all these power plants. We gotta bomb them. And then they blew up all these. I mean, it's ridiculous what's going on. So it's the fog of war. So the public has no idea that ISIS is actually on our side, and they have no intentions on taking out ISIS. If they did, they could have taken them out anytime they're on the move in their ridiculous convoys of Toyota trucks. They could just, you know, fly in there with a few A-10 warthogs and just, that's it. They're done. Goodbye. No more ISIS.
Well, doesn't anybody ever listen to these speeches that the president and other people give where they make a slip up and they slip in the truth there, and then it's, you know, it's actually corrected or edited or fixed up later on.
Obama.
Don't any people with their heads in the sand ever find these videos?
So you're referring to the video recently where Obama slipped up and admitted that they're training and funding ISIS or something to this effect?
Yeah, exactly.
And played it off like it was just a slip of the tongue.
Uh-huh.
If we go back to when they wanted to invade Syria, there's video of John McCain hanging out with these ISIS rebels saying that they're funding them and they need to get them more arms. They're, you know, photos, you know, video of John McCain hanging out with the ISIS rebels. I mean, it's ridiculous.
It is ridiculous.
It is. So.
And then, you know, and then before that you have, you know, Michael or Michelle Obama saying that, she and Barack went back to his home country of Kenya about a vaccine, introducing a vaccine there as well. And you got her slipping up there. Then you get Hillary Clinton slipping up and saying that a few years ago they were the people that we were funding. She was funding, you know, Al-Qaeda, you know.
I don't think she was slipping up there. She actually was telling it the way it is. Telling it the way it is. It wasn't a slip up.
Yeah, I don't know who she was telling this to. That's the thing. Depends who you're telling it to. If it's the people in your own Congress or whatever, it's fine. They're all on the same page. But
well, she was being interviewed there by who? Her own press. So they have their own press, you know.
Yeah, well, I'll give her some credit for actually admitting that, because I did see that one, and I was surprised that she was saying that, because it was what we've the hell been saying. Mm. And it's like, you know, all this terrorist theater nonsense needs to come to an end, because it's ridiculous. Anyone that has been paying attention the whole time, you know, doesn't understand who the friggin' enemy is. Mm. We're funding and we created and funded our own enemies? What? And now we're supposedly fighting them? It's just ridiculous. If they're going to use ISIS as a proxy army to go around and take over the Middle East, then just do it out in the open. Don't pretend that they're at war with ISIS. You know?
Because the Canadian military are out there in Syria, even in Iraq, are bombing supposedly ISIS areas where they're held up in and stuff like that. They're trying to blow up their infrastructure, but they're not doing that. They're blowing up the Iraqi and the Syrian infrastructure. That's what they're doing. They're not aiming anything at ISIS at all.
No, of course not.
That's BS.
No, it doesn't appear. Yeah, exactly. It doesn't appear that way, because the bombing missions that I've seen, they've targeted Syrian infrastructure and just claimed, well, that's where ISIS was hiding out.
Yeah.
Well, when you're in a war with another country, one of the first things you attack is their infrastructure. Any general knows that, right?
Yep.
Any war general would, you know. So an attack on another country's infrastructure is an act.
Yeah. Anyways, guys, we've got a break coming up, and we'll be right back after these messages.
TruthFrequencyRadio.com.
Thanks for being for radio.
This election campaign, Live Free FM would like to remind you how important it is that you get out and vote for Nobody. Nobody is an honest politician. Nobody will put your needs before his political desires. Nobody will keep his campaign promises. Nobody will put an end to the invasive and creepy NSA spying program. Nobody will lower your taxes. Nobody truly is a man of the people. Nobody cares about you, and nobody has all the answers. Cast the only vote that really means anything. Vote for Nobody. If Nobody wins, everybody wins. For more information on how you can vote for Nobody, tune in to Live Free FM Sunday nights on the Truth Frequency Radio Network. This message approved by Nobody.
A young man from Indiana finds himself in trouble for getting a little too close to the action during a Cincinnati Reds home game the other day.
Police say 19-year-old Justin Buchanan ran across the field during the game. The Cincinnati Inquirer says he was taking selfies as he sprinted toward center field, scaling a 10-foot fence, then running out of the stadium. He's charged with a first-degree misdemeanor that could bring up to 180 days in jail or a fine of up to $1,000 if he's convicted.
That's SRN's Rich Thomason. The very guitar that Bob Dylan used to go electric at the Newport Folk Festival 50 years ago is back in Newport, Rhode Island. Dylan used the Fender Stratocaster in his performance July 25th, 1965. The moment signified Dylan's break from the folk movement and is considered one of the most important moments in rock history. Colts owner Jim Irsay bought that guitar for $965,000 back in 2013. This is SRN News. A newly escaped drug cartel boss and Donald Trump are proving big hits at kids' parties in Mexico.
Piñatas are papier-mâché effigies of characters filled with candies and chocolates. The aim is to take turns to vigorously beat them with a stick or baseball bat until they crack, releasing all of their riches. Up to now, Superman, Batman, and other cartoon characters have been the staple cannon fodder, but since the tunneled escape from jail of Sinaloa drug cartel leader Joaquin Shorty Guzman, he's been modeled in khaki prison garb, while Donald Trump, in a royal blue suit, appears minute in size, sporting a crest of blonde hair.
That's SRN's James Bleers in Mexico City. The Des Moines Register says Donald Trump has denied press credentials to its reporters after the newspaper published an editorial calling on the billionaire businessman to end his campaign. In that editorial, the newspaper called Trump, quote, a feckless blowhard who is, quote, unfit to hold office. More details at SRNnews.com. From Washington, I'm Bob Agnew.
Exposing faux capitalism with Jason Earp, Saturday on Truth Frequency Radio.
We've got to give them a stake in creating the kind of world order that I think all of us would like to see. World order, world order, world order.
Welcome to Detroit City. I said, welcome to Detroit City. Every place, everywhere we go. Man, we deep, everywhere we roll. Let's go around, and they all know tricky.
Welcome back to Angry Beaver Radio, broadcasting live out of Kanatistan. And before we left for the break, we were talking about ISIS and the ISIS crisis. And what's interesting to me is apparently the Canadian forces were in a firefight with supposed ISIS forces when they took fire from Turkish forces, which is a NATO ally. So you've got the Canadian forces and the Kurdish forces, taking fire, and then they're returning fire, and then, they get fired upon by the Turkish military right over there, you know, just over yonder. And, this didn't appear to be friendly fire whatsoever. So why is a NATO country attacking another NATO country? I mean, it just, nothing makes sense right now, and it's, They need to just pull our military right out of that nonsense.
I agree.
I was wondering if any of the military was, sorry, Mike, if any of the military's people are backing out or backing down from their unlawful and criminal activities. I've heard that some of them were backing out and knowing it's just all a fraud.
It's ridiculous. It's like, who's the bloody enemy here?
Yeah.
Are we fighting ISIS, or are we fighting Turkey, or is ISIS on our team now, or what the hell's going on here, guys? Now Turkey's firing on us? Like, what's next? Maybe France will start, go down there and pretend they're gonna fight ISIS and start firing on US troops.
Mm-hmm.
It's ridiculous.
Because they mistook us for our ISIS.
Oh, I thought it was ISIS. Sorry. I mean, it's...
Well, they're all covered up, right? So you don't know who they are.
Yeah, there's no benefit for us to be over there to our country. There's no reason for us to be over there. There's no reason to risk Canadians' lives to go over there. What? It's costing us all kinds of money. There's not going to be any spoils of war from there. You know, like, and what do we need? We're in Canada. We don't need any of their natural resources. We don't have enough people that live here to extract our own. You know what I mean? We got unlimited natural resources at our disposal. We don't need to be off in some faraway land, chasing ISIS ghosts that we created, or that the CIA and Mossad and MI6 created. I mean, let them, it's just a creation of the military-industrial complex, chasing paper money with ISIS ghosts. It's ridiculous.
It is ridiculous.
And what confuses me is when I see a documentary by the BBC called Al-Qaeda Does Not Exist, you know, and then I hear BBC talking about, oh, we got to go get ISIS. It doesn't make any sense to me. I don't understand this.
The BBC is much like the CBC in the sense where it's publicly funded. It takes taxpayers' money to fund their supposedly private news organization. It's ridiculous.
But why would they do a video, make a documentary on Al-Qaeda Does Not Exist, and then turn around 100% and go the other way?
I don't know.
I don't get it. I don't get it.
I haven't seen that particular documentary you're discussing, but I mean, it's the BBC, so who knows? They're wacko.
Mm.
It's the same with a lot of the, like, you know, mainstream media. They'll do, you know, some pieces that seem rather truthful, and then the next minute they're putting out stuff that is known to be out and out lies, so.
But doesn't that do something to the reputation of that country, you know? doesn't it kind of make people think, oh, what are they, you know, what's going on here? And then people think differently. So I don't know.
Anyway. Oh, real journalism is gone. It's not the way it used to be. You know?
Exactly.
It's totally changed. And it's, they used to work hard at, trying to, fight crime and, stuff like that, you know, but they don't do that anymore. They're all bought and paid for and they work for the globalists now. They get paid more money. They gotta follow the money trail.
Cause I was watching, the live, JFK assassination when it was on TV.
Right.
And, you know, they were coming up with some good information and, they were saying, oh, okay, there's two people that have been, apprehended there, some witnesses, and, you know, they're talked to. They've been, briefed on what they saw and everything else, and then all of a sudden, that was forgotten about. So, I don't know, it is out there, the truth, but then it's squashed once it comes to air.
So. But it's better, it's a lot easier to believe the lies than it is the truth, because, The lies are a sweet, sweet pill, and the truth pill is very bitter and very bad taste. Yeah, hard to swallow. You know? So people rather go. Yeah, people rather go to the sweet, sweet taste and smell of a lie, and it's easier to digest, to believe.
Easier
to digest, and people don't want to know the truth. A lot of people know the truth, but there's nothing we can do about it. But there's lots you can do about it. Get your own radio show going. Get your own podcast. Get your own website going. Or do something. Hand out videos and DVDs and flyers, stuff like that, like we used to do.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's what you can do. There's lots you can do, but people are just lazy. They just don't want to do it. They'd rather just believe what the mainstream media is talking about. I'd like to go to CP24 and ask them, where do they get their information from? What source do they get their information from? I don't think they research anything. I think
like
they're
on the internet. Somebody posted a picture of Dustin Bieber, and said, "Oh, Dustin Bieber's supposed to be dead or something like that." And I just comment on there, not newsworthy. But people are posting these stupid things anyway. They keep going and going and going with the whole thing, you know.
I agree.
Yeah.
There are a lot of things you can do, but you gotta get up off your butt and do it, that's all. Yeah.
And another friend was talking to me on Facebook, Messenger about, oh, I like this music or I like that singer. And I said, you like that singer? And I tell her, explain that, you know, give her a video to watch, you know, like, sold their souls to rock and roll, and that'll explain. She says, yeah, but I like the music though. I like what they're talking about. And I'm thinking, do you know what they're even saying in there? You know, they're saying something you don't even understand, you know? So I don't get some people, you know?
Well, I mean, it's, you know, you can't make people, care about something, you know? People are interested in things that don't matter, and to make them care about something relevant, it's hard to force them. It's like, you know, care, damn it. Give a damn. And
it's frustrating.
You know, it's like they're on the train tracks and there's a train coming down the, you know, and you keep telling them, you know, there's a train coming and they just keep ignoring you. And eventually, you know, right before the train hits them, they may turn and see it and jump off the tracks. But
yeah.
Well, and then I see somebody give me a friend request on Facebook, and I go into their page and I see what music they like or what movies they like. And then I see somebody in there like a Cyrus or whatever else, and I just delete the request, you know.
Smiley virus. If you like Smiley Virus on Facebook, Mark will just delete you.
Come on, man. Come on.
No, I don't know her music, but yeah, I can understand that, you know, she's not really the greatest role model for the youth.
No, definitely not. None of them are, basically.
And that's by design. I mean, it's not.
Of course. Not her fault.
Yeah, I mean, if Smiley Virus decided to be all wholesome and Betty Crocker and Miss, you know, Morality, they never would have put her up in the celebrity status in the first place.
they're all molded. Like you're basically saying they're all molded into the same, by the same group. You know, by the same elite, by the same Illuminati, whatever. They're molded, and that's why they're at the top of their profession.
Well, Billy Ray Cyrus basically said, "Doesn't matter. You can say whatever you want about my daughter. She's still my daughter anyway."
Did you see, it was MC Hammer,
MC Mallet.
MC Hammer came out with a video recently, attacking Jay-Z over his whole, you know, satanic nonsense, satanic, Illuminati symbology. I can't remember what it's called, but yeah, Hammer attacks Jay-Z over all this stuff in a recent music video.
Yeah. Wow.
It's funny. But I, you know, I mean, I'm not, you know, a lot of people, like a lot of the Christian and religious folks, they get all freaked out when they realize all this, weird symbology and satanic crap is mixed in with the pop culture. But I mean, the average person doesn't really realize it's even mixed in there.
Yeah.
You know, and if they did, they would be like, well, I don't want to be part of some weird cult.
Just like, just like KFC secret, secret recipe.
Ingredient? Secret.
Yeah.
There's nothing secret about toxic chemicals, you know?
Wow.
I mean, if the average listener who doesn't, you know, not really religious of these musicians doesn't want to be part of some weird satanic cult and then starts realizing that they've been really indoctrinating them with all this weird crap in their videos throughout pop culture, it takes an artist who may be talented, like say Beyonce or Jay-Z, who they used to like, and now they don't like them. They just hate them. Mm-hmm. They don't buy any more of their records, and they end up throwing their old records in the garbage. You know, it's like a cult. I don't see why the atheists, out there aren't as mad about all this weird satanic crap in the music as the religious folks. It's beyond me. They tend to support it.
Like, yeah, they're following it. Yeah.
Yeah. It offends the religious folks, so I'm going to support it. It's like, no, you're being indoctrinated into some weird brainwashing cult through pop culture, through mainstream media.
Have you guys ever watched any videos from the group, called Anonymous? You know, it's a guy with a mask on. And
yeah, who knows who's anonymous? I mean, anyone can make that video. You could just take the template, right? Download the video, open it up in video editor and mute the sound and then just make a new recording. It's a template that's universal that anyone or any group could use for their interests, which means it then gets painted, as being this picture of something that it is or isn't, you know. What is anonymous? I mean, it could be anyone or anything. So the one that's put out by one anonymous video could be from one political perspective and another one's from another completely opposite political perspective. So what does anonymous stand for? I don't know.
Yeah. And when I watched it, it sounded pretty good. A lot of the information is what I agree with 100% anyway. So nothing really stood out as not being truth. That I could see.
Yeah, but Anonymous is supposedly some hacker group that's going to save us, right? Which I'm quite skeptical of. And usually these hack attacks are most likely perpetrated by the federal government themselves in order to enact stricter internet controls.
Yeah, and then have you go to that site and maybe track you that way as well. So
possibly, but I mean... So I'm always skeptical about the anonymous videos and the anonymous hacks. It's, you know, anyone could make an anonymous video and claim they're anonymous representing anonymous, whatever the hell.
Yeah, it sounds anonymously funny.
That's the whole.
And even the ones that come out to rallies and protests, is that the same? Do you regard them as the same? That like, they shouldn't be there with their heads hidden like that?
Well, I mean, that's a different story, but the problem with people showing up with masks is here in Canada, that's usually the paid provocateurs. So that's usually the police wearing the masks. So there's the thing, like wearing a mask is, you know, part of freedom of speech. And in Canada, it's part of winter weather because we wear ski masks. Sometimes if you're out in the crazy weather, you might want to throw on a ski mask. So
what if you're wearing something else?
There shouldn't be any laws against wearing a mask. Like they have, you can't wear masks at protests, but see, if you commit a crime while wearing a mask, there was already laws on the books. If you commit a crime while you're wearing a mask, you're going to get in a lot more trouble than had you just committed a crime while not wearing the mask if you get caught. So, say you robbed a bank with a mask, a lot bigger charge than just robbing a bank. You'll get more time in jail for it. You will. So these laws were already on the books in Canada. So we didn't need new laws that said, oh, well, you can't protest with a mask, because you could have let them protest with a mask. The minute they start breaking the law, like smashing people's windows or lighting cars on fire or whatever they're doing, right? Trashing cars or whatever they're doing, any damage created, they have the vandalism charge or whatever charge it was. Plus, they did it while they were masked, concealing their identity, which is a stiffer penalty. We already had laws on the books for that. So, you know, this, I don't understand with this whole masked thing, but the only thing I could see to our benefit with this new law is, it can prevent the police from provocateuring these protests, because that's one reason I've always advocated people stay away from it, because it's going to get provocateured. Not every one of them is provocateured, but a lot of the bigger ones are, and it's usually done by the police dressed up as supposed anarchists.
Yeah, and they just cover their face with a, I forget what the name of it is. They just cover their face. That's a mask as well.
Yeah.
But of course, if you're at a protest or a rally, you might get tasered. So it's good to have one of those handy.
Yeah. And you got the pepper spray or the tear gas. So a lot of the protesters would have like bandanas or something to try to, you know, prevent some of that from hurting them. And these people weren't violent. They were exercising their right to protest. So I don't see, if they're peacefully protesting, not hurting anyone, that there should be any law against wearing a mask. That's ridiculous. In terms of committing any type of crime wearing a mask, we already had laws on the books. You know, you can't go out committing felonies wearing a mask, because if you do, you're going to get in a lot bigger trouble. And people think this is, I'm joking about this in Canada, but no, if you just rob a bank, that's a bad charge. If you rob a bank while wearing a mask, you're going to get in a lot more trouble. It's a bigger, like, it's not a joke, man. You're talking years on top of your sentence.
Well, that's why they wear masks.
So you want to do 5 to 10, or you want to do 15 to 20? That's the difference we're talking, you know, like, they think it's a joke. So we didn't need new laws to ban wearing a mask at a protest in order for public safety. It's ridiculous.
But it's okay for ISIS to wear a mask. It's okay for the military to mask.
And Black Bloc. It's okay for them.
Yeah. Come on, now. That doesn't make any sense.
They're committing crimes.
Yes.
You know?
We're being punished.
What are you going to do? You're going to ban underwear because people that wear underwear commit crimes, so now no one can wear underwear?
Unless you wear underwear on your head.
If people should be allowed to wear masks or ski masks or whatever, because, you know, especially in Canada, what are you going to do? Everyone's face is going to freeze? As long as they're not committing a crime, what the hell's the difference?
Or they probably see somebody with a mask on and they're looking. Maybe that person might be going to rob a bank or something like that.
But I mean, the minute somebody commits a crime wearing a mask, the penalty for the crime is nearly doubled. Like, you realize this, right? The laws have been like this for a long time, since before I was born.
If you
commit a crime while wearing a mask, you're looking at nearly double the penalty for that crime, because you did it while wearing a mask.
The way they used to do it, they used to wear stockings over your head.
Well, yeah, that would be considered a mask as well. So, I mean, these laws are on the books. So this whole new thing with going to a protest while wearing a mask, it has nothing to do with stopping criminal activity or preventing that. It's just, you know, it's another clamp down on free speech. The only thing I can see working to protesters' advantage is that the provocateurs shouldn't be showing up in masks either now. You know, the cops won't be able to wear masks and pretend they're protesters. So yeah. I don't know, but that's one of the many reasons why I even go down there. It's not like you're going to go to a protest and just meet up with the global elite in a dark alley and beat them up or something. It's mm-hmm. like, what's the point? Like, we're not going to get anywhere with it.
Yeah, true.
Well, look at the G20 with the Black Bloc wearing masks. If they didn't wear masks, probably the G20 probably wouldn't have happened.
Yeah, all the provocateurism at the G20, yeah. Exactly.
You probably know who they are right off the bat.
And the same Montebello, Quebec, where you had those guys, the cops throwing rocks, and they were wearing masks. They were the only people there wearing masks were cops.
That's right, yeah.
You know? So that law would have prevented that. But that's not the point. I mean, wearing a mask or wearing a glove or whatever, not in a malicious way, just, you know, to keep warm or whatever, is part of a freedom, you know? Mm-hmm. So, I mean, if you ban wearing masks and for any activity, then I guess you ban, what's next, underwear or socks?
You shouldn't sell them, right?
Yeah. So, I mean, yeah. To me, the issue isn't the mask. You know, that's just an inanimate object.
Yeah. It's what you do with the mask.
Yeah.
Yeah. Pretty much.
So I don't know. Recently there was, apparently there was somebody shot by the police on the West Coast, I believe it was the RCMP, in one of those Guy Fawkes masks, you know, the anonymous looking masks.
Mm-hmm.
And then Anonymous supposedly put out this message and video, for the National Post. And I mean, so who put out this video? Nobody knows. For all we know, the government put out the anonymous video.
Mm-hmm.
Saying that
the government's tracking everybody too, right? So they can find out who it is.
So they're tracking everyone, and the National Post is playing it out like, oh yeah, well they hacked all the government websites and oh, they're going to breach all your private data. Anonymous is there. And yeah, Anonymous is sitting down at the National Post. I'm like, yeah, right. This is the federal government put out all this nonsense, is now getting the National Post to put out this garbage. So like I say, anyone can pose as Anonymous. I'm not saying every time Anonymous puts something out, it's the government doing it, but like anyone could do it. Anyone.
And it's freedom, and it's freedom. You can have a website, and we can have a radio show. It's still freedom though as well. So that's what I'm taking in account.
Right.
Independent or not, you know, you still have that freedom right now.
When I went to, Queen's Park with, Daniel in Toronto, nobody there was wearing really a mask. Everybody were maskless. But they still had the right to protest, to do whatever they're doing. Whether you believe the lefties out there doing their stuff, the lefties meaning Jane Fonda's and David Suzuki's. Those are the lefties. That they think that they're right on the right, but they actually are the left. You know, trying to say that they know everything about what's going on, which David Suzuki, oh, I know about chemtrails. I know all about, blah, 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 blah. But in the long run, all they're doing is just sweeping the problem under the table. They're not recognizing, chemtrails and, Fukushima. Nobody's mentioning Fukushima. I put, some pictures up of some flowers that have looked like, I've never seen flowers like this before. They're all deformed and all that kind of stuff, due to the radiation coming from the Fukushima.
Well, I mean, I've heard a little bit of lip service from David Suzuki on the chemtrails or even Fukushima. But I mean, he doesn't pay it the same amount of attention that he pays the global warming or the climate change or whatever they're calling it this week. It doesn't get near the attention. And part of that, I mean, you know, why bite the hand that feeds you? He's had a long career of working for the CBC, and putting out globalist propaganda for the UN and UNESCO, whether knowingly or unknowingly, I suspect knowingly. And, so why bite the hand that feeds him? If he goes full out against all this crap, not just on the environmental front, but why is all this happening? Because we're under a global dictatorship. Global corporate dictatorship that, is signing the paychecks at the end of the day.
But isn't he supposed to be representing the truth and what's going on with the environment and Fukushima, not sweeping it under the rug like it doesn't exist?
That's what the CBC would probably have you believe, that David Suzuki's Canadian of the century, and everything he says is gospel and the truth. But
is he running for prime minister, did you say?
He's a propagandist, and that's what he is.
Yeah, he's not, exactly.
He can call himself an environmentalist all he wants, but he's a propagandist first and foremost. That's what his job is. And the minute he strays too far away from that, going into some type of activism, he's not going to get any pay money coming in. That's the bottom line. So he needs to maintain. So any of these people pretending to be environmentalists that were actually just career propagandists are expecting them to take any of these other environmental issues seriously, it's going to end up biting the hand that feeds them. So they're either going to have to throw their career in the toilet or just ignore everybody and keep promoting what the banks want.
That's pretty much what they're doing.
Yeah. So, but again, I mean, he's spoken on about Fukushima. He'll acknowledge it's a problem. I'm pretty sure I've heard him speak on the chemtrails, but again, that's just because he's willing to admit there's a problem with chemtrails and then just kind of brush it aside and keep going with his global warming nonsense. It's like all these globalist asshats are the ones doing all this crap. So, I mean, I don't know. To me, he's just biding his time. He's eventually gonna have to jump ship with these globalist rats. He's gonna have to jump ship with these globalist rats. All these spokespeople are from the
fire department. Exactly. Commander. Anyways, so we got another break coming up. Fire.
Angry Beaver Radio on TruthFrequencyRadio.com.
Maybe the smartest thing to do is pull it. And they made that decision to pull, and then we watched the building collapse.
The whole building just collapsed on us inside the lobby.
Was that a secondary explosion?
Yes, it was.
That was the plan.
Yeah, definitely a secondary explosion. We was inside waiting to go upstairs.
Dowsing is the ancient science of finding water and metal underground. Albert Einstein said that dowsing was tapping into earth energies, which modern science as yet does not understand. Diamonds, silver, gold, and platinum objects have all been found using dowsing. And now, for the first time on film, we visit the pyramids, Stonehenge, and ancient sites, dowsing for buried treasure and tapping into this mysterious earth energy.
The Enigma Channel. Intelligent television for planet Earth. EnigmaTV.com.
With SRN News, I'm Bob Agnew in Washington. President Obama could not have asked for a warmer greeting as he arrived in Kenya today. But when he tried to demand that African countries, all of them, including Kenya, expand rights for homosexuals,
the idea that they are going to be treated differently or abused because of who they love is wrong. Full stop.
He got something of a chilly reception from Kenyan President Uhuru Kenyatta.
There are some things that we must admit we don't share. Our culture, our societies don't accept. It's very difficult for us to be able to impose on people that which they themselves do not accept.
Ramping up the fight against ISIS, Turkey's military targeting 7 areas in northern Iraq in a series of strikes today. Tunisia's parliament, meanwhile, has passed the country's new anti-terror law that comes despite fears by some rights groups that it could be abused in the fledgling democracy. Also at SRNews.com, an angry Texas Senator Ted Cruz accusing his own party leader of lying to him. Cruz says he was lied to last month when he asked Majority Leader Mitch McConnell if he had struck a deal to reauthorize the export-import ban.
It was a direct question.
I asked the majority leader in front of all of the Republican senators. The majority leader was visibly angry with me.
He says, "I did get a straight answer." Cruz took to the Senate floor to blast McConnell yesterday. Some harrowing tales being told by survivors of this week's theater shooting in Lafayette, Louisiana, from people like 21-year-old Emily Mann, who had a narrow escape.
"Well, it started getting down on the ground, running this way towards the exit. So I got down and I started making my way down the stairs on my hands and knees, lost a shoe, left my purse. So by the time I got down, somebody helped me around the corner."
And police say the gunman, John Russell Hauser, killed himself after shooting to death two women and wounding nine other people. This is SRN News.
You're listening to the Truth Frequency Radio Network.
No hate, no hype, no fear.
We have before us the opportunity to forge, for ourselves and for future generations, a new world order. A world where the rule of law, not the law of the jungle, governs the conduct of nations. When we are successful, and we will be, we have a real chance at this new world order, an order in which a credible United Nations can use its peacekeeping role to fulfill the promise and vision of the UN's founders.
Welcome back to Angry Beaver Radio here on the Truth Frequency Radio Network, truthfrequencyradio.com. You can find us over on TuneIn. If you have the TuneIn app, you can just look up Truth Frequency Radio and favorite the station to keep us in your playlist. And where else are we? 90.7 in Denver? Something like that?
Yep.
Right on.
Yeah, I guess, during the break, the news part, they're talking about that, the theater shooting.
Right.
Yeah, what was it, I forget what they said was, several people killed or two people killed or something like that.
Lafayette?
Lafayette, yeah. Louisiana, whatever, yeah.
Yeah, I don't know too much about that. I've started seeing the headline around, but it's, you know,
yeah.
These things, it's just another gun-free zone where a bunch of unarmed people got shot by a nut job. So yeah. The answer is to make more innocent people unarmed for the nut jobs, I guess.
Yeah, pretty much.
That's what, you know, they immediately jump on it right away. And most of the American people don't really seem to buy this. So I don't know why they keep pulling this narrative.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I haven't looked too much into this specific case.
Somebody's been on drugs and stuff like that and the whole bit. We've heard this whole thing before with James Holmes and all that kind of stuff. And his trial is beginning now. So he's going to suffer the same fate as the Boston bomber, supposedly suspect. Mm-hmm. Same fate, same narrative.
Yeah,
it's easy. That's a nice cop out to say, "Oh, he was on drugs, and that's it. It's all game. You know, thing is over with." You know, like, come on. Or they committed suicide. Whatever. It's just a cop out.
Yeah. Or he had problems and all this kind of thing. But the same thing has happened with the Boston bombings with James Holmes and that. He was deranged and all this kind of stuff. You could see James Holmes in the courtroom. With his orange hair and his pupils in his eyes are dilated and like he was on something. You know, this type of thing. So, yeah, it's more propaganda BS as far as I'm concerned. They probably foiled their own plot, which they've done a lot of. The FBI and the CIA just foiled their own plot, getting some guy that's crazy to go and do these things.
Because you can't put out the perfect crime. There's always some flaw in there that we pick up all the time.
Yeah, pretty much, yeah. Manchurian candidate. Which I believe this guy probably was.
Oh, yeah, of course, you know.
Which came from a movie back in the early 60s, The Manchurian Candidate with Frank Sinatra.
Yeah, I should check that out. I've never watched that movie before.
Mm-hmm.
It might tell me something about the way the government runs things.
Yeah, and like it with the Green Hornet, there was an episode there just had something to do with this kind of thing too, but mind control and all that kind of stuff.
I think I saw that one.
Did you guys hear that other commercial on the news break about Obama arriving in Kenya?
I'm not sure.
Yeah, I heard something about that.
Yeah, and they were all cheering. They're like, Obama, 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 Obama. Mm-hmm. It was ridiculous. Yeah, and then so he showed up to tell them something about gay rights or something, and they don't accept that in their culture, so they were just, you know, basically gave him the big finger, and then Obama, 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 and he went home, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know.
None of it matters because it's all for show. You know, he's gone to go do some more golfing.
Yeah. So he might as well go do it back in his, hometown of Kenya. Sure.
I don't know, but there's something we could probably do with that, the crazy Obama people that were greeting him. You take the audio and make it into some crazy, bumper music or some kind of ad or. I don't know.
Sure, why not?
Could be the next new hit on iTunes.
I'm all for it. I'll buy it.
Yeah.
Sure. So, yeah, exactly. So, yeah, I put some pictures up there of Dick Cheney and his wife, I guess in the White House in the bunker, you know, like during 9/11. And I see him sitting in his chair at his table with his feet up on the table, watching the monitor with the towers burning. He's just sitting there, just watching, like no care in the world.
You know? Yeah, and at this point, plumes are coming out of both towers. At this point, neither have fallen yet, but plumes are coming out of both towers, and he's just sitting there, leaning back, with his feet up on his desk, watching the TV.
So that means Bush was doing the same thing before he entered the classroom.
All that's missing is like a cigar and a martini or a scotch. I mean, like, it's just ridiculous. It's just like, and a big banner behind that said, mission accomplished. That's the only thing that's missing, a party hat and streamers. It's ridiculous. It does not look like a guy who's concerned, like maybe watching. I can understand him watching, but watching on the edge of his seat and kind of panicking like, oh crap, what do we do? What do we do? It looks like somebody who's calm, cool, and relaxed, so relaxed that he's got to kick his feet up and lean back because everything's going according to plan, I guess. Yeah. Hey there, Dick Cheney, terrorist.
Exactly. Is there any other pictures, Mike, those ones?
Yeah, there are other pictures there that you can check out. They have more people in the room as well.
Maybe that young guy who apparently asked about the planes coming in. I wonder if he was in the picture as well.
Cheney gave the stand down order for those planes not to be shot out of the sky, and then they hit the buildings, and he sat back with his feet up, watching the buildings burn.
He's in a bunker. He's protected.
Why? Because Dick Cheney was obviously in on 9/11. Why else? He shows no concern. Everything's going according to plan. He gave the stand down order. NORAD can't shoot down these airliners coming inbound. And mission accomplished. He's got his feet up. The pressure's off. Time to kick your feet off after a hard day's work, eh, Dick? That's what it is. It's not somebody who's, oh crap, our country's under attack. What's going on? What are we going to do? Or, you know, these are the actions of somebody who just completed something.
Yeah, it looks like it. But, well, Dick Cheney, being the vice president at the time, had more power than the president did.
I'm more inclined to believe that Bush Jr. didn't have any knowledge of it.
He was just out of the loop.
He just seemed so dumb. He come across as so, you know, disconnected with everything. So I'm more inclined to believe that, you know, Bush Jr. probably did, he may not have had any idea of anything going on.
I don't think he had any idea of anything because he's sitting there reading that book to the children upside down.
Upside down. But again, that could be a great smoke screen, smoke cover.
Yeah.
You know, he may know more than what he leads on, but Cheney, I mean, the guilt is just written all over his face.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it's like, like what's next? He was just waiting for him to come out with his own, O.J. Simpson book. Like, if I did it, here's how I would have did it.
Yeah.
You know, in an all telling bestseller.
I think there's a video, I don't know what it's called, but it's when Bush was in the school reading the pet goat story. There was some words that were on the board there or in the book that they were going over, something about kite or flying or something like that, had something to do with 9/11. If someone wants to check out, just punch in George Bush schoolroom and airplane or story, the story they were talking about there, pet goat. And there was something in there that actually talks about flying or airplanes or something like that. So you might want to check it out.
Yeah. Well, that's what Operation Northwoods was. One of the things was to fly airplanes into buildings. Well, that was back when Kennedy was in, who got first elected there. That's when mm-hmm. that happened. That was on the books even back then.
And I guess you can read that document about that. What the wording and stuff. What's in it?
Operation Northwoods.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It's free now for anybody who wants to check it out.
Yeah, and the government staged a bombing attack at the World Trade Center. Oh, geez, when was it? In the 90s?
93.
Yeah. Yep. And they openly admit that they staged it and they led a patsy down there that they corralled over to try to attack the World Trade Centers.
Oh, gee.
So, you know, they have a track record of trying to attack the, well, geez. Gee, who did 9/11? Well, who tried to attack the building last time?
Really?
Mm-hmm. Well, it's probably the same people. Turns out it is.
Yeah. But the people still believe that the Muslims did it. I'm still laughing over that.
Yeah.
It's so funny. How dumb can the government think we the people are? We're not that dumb. Well, we know what's going on. People that actually know what's going on. Yeah, we all know what's going on. At the beginning of when 9/11 happened, I didn't really even think of what was really going on. Not two holes in the building's got a hole in it, just black smoke. And I didn't think anything of it after that. Like they probably just put the fire out and probably fix it up and they're back in business again. That's what I thought.
So Michael, these photos that came out, I haven't seen these ones before. How could folks find that? Are these relatively new that have been released?
Yeah, they were just released, I think yesterday.
Right. So these are photos of Cheney with his feet up watching the event unfold.
Yes, exactly. And they have other pictures there of everybody else, like Condoleezza Rice and Colin Powell and all those guys in the bunker, just sitting there, like not really concerned with anything. No concern look, no concern of like what do we do? We gotta go after these people who did this event, you know. But no, everybody's just cool, calm, and collected. That's what got me. Nobody cared. So a terrorist attack. Who cares? No big deal. We created the enemy. We just sit back and let it happen. But I think it was also funded by Saudi Arabia as well. And Israel is not too far away from that either. They probably put, let's say if the buildings were nuked, you know, I think Israel had something to do with that. They got nukes in their arsenal. Where do you think the dancing Israelis came from? They probably were they probably were the ones that planted them in the first place. But
yeah, I mean, it's you've got the dancing Israelis, but you also have that security company G4S and the vans with the murals painted on them that appear to be G4S's vans, with a mural of the World Trade Center's painted on the side, with a plane hitting the side of it. You know, what the hell's that about? That wasn't the Muslim van. It appeared to be Israeli G4S or Mossad or who knows what. So there appears to be Israeli involvement in 9/11 at the very least. I'm not saying that the whole country of Israel did it. I'm just saying that there appears to be some involvement. Our intelligence agencies do work with each other, whether it's CSIS or Mossad or CIA, MI5. So, you know, any of those organizations could have been working with the CIA on that day of 9/11.
Oh, sure. And we just let it happen. Because we wanted to go to war with Afghanistan and Iraq anyway, even before 9/11 happened. So it was already on the table.
Well, the real thing is, though, is how come these questions about the G4S and the security company and cleanup companies have never been addressed, and the van with the mural? How come these issues have never been addressed since the day?
Yeah, makes you wonder. Like, when you're a regular investigator, you investigate every possible angle.
Mm-hmm. And then when you find a lead and you can't get any reasonable answers for it, you know, you would think, okay, well, I'm on to something. Well, the mainstream media just goes, sweep it under the rug. Let's never look there again.
Yeah.
Hey, look, I got a lead. Okay, don't look over there. Like, when it comes to this mural van, that's a significant lead. It's a giant, like, it's not giant, but it's a moving van, cube van, with a mural of the attack parked out in front at the time of the attack. Before the attack even happened, it must have been parked there.
But I want to know what was in that van.
Well, and then who parked the van there? Who? Mm-hmm. What? It appears to be tied to G4S. What the hell's going on here? And we never hear a word about that crap again. Or the dancing Israelis or any of that. They did, you know, a momentary coverage. Okay, sweep it under the rug. No, we can't get any answers, reasonable answers to explain any of this. And we'll just pretend it never happened again. And that's what you get from the mainstream media. And if you question it, now, oh, you're a conspiracy theorist.
Yeah.
Well, no, there's evidence that this van was there. What happened to this van? I really want to know. Who drove the van there?
And where's the airplane? What happens to the airplanes that went into the towers? Where the people? Where's the seats? Where's the wreckage? Where are the people? They didn't mention anything about where the people are.
Yeah, they could barely find any recognizable wreckage, but then somehow magical passports show up for the supposed terrorists that flew the plane. And then when the FBI says, you know, hey, we got to go get the terrorists. Here's the terrorists that did 9/11. And then it turns out that a whole pile of those supposed terrorists were alive and in some other country and didn't have anything to do with the attack.
A lot of them were Saudis.
So how could they have flown a plane into the World Trade Center and then left behind their birth certificate or their identification, which somehow survived the molten steel and collapsing buildings? Nothing else survived. You can't even make heads or tails of a plane. But their identification survived. So how did their identification survive that impact when they were never on the plane in the first place?
Yeah.
When they found out that this person was alive over here, it wasn't even part of it. So it makes no sense. Like, they've been caught lying so many times. And how many Hollywood Bin Ladens did they go through? How many different actors did they have to play the character of Bin Laden? Because they've had more than one.
Yeah, oh yeah, sure they did.
I think they've had three, maybe four.
Yeah, exactly. That's how do you guys
remember the lady's name who was a pilot for about 30 years? Even during 9/11 there, she has her own radio show now on Truth Frequency. Do you remember her name? People should listen to her interviews that she's had. I've mentioned it before. She goes by a pilot's perspective only. And she talks about who is on the plane, like what government or what professionally trained people are on the plane, like, you know, assassins or they're hijacker trained and everything else. Those people are on there. It's very, very interesting. And she's saying that, like, for the one that was shot down in Pennsylvania, people say, oh, people were saying that, oh, the passengers took control of the hijacker. And she says, no, that's not their job. Their job is to sit in the seat, be quiet, stay off their cell phones if they have one, don't make any communications. And they have their own people who are trained on those, each flight to take care of those kind of things. So it's very interesting. If we can get the name of her or her radio show, that would be good to get out to people.
Oh, I'm trying, is it Rebecca Roth or something?
Yeah, that's her.
I'm guessing here. I've heard the show you're talking about before. It's a good show. But yeah, mm-hmm. I have the question of the cell phone conversations. It's claimed that, it's impossible for these conversations to have taken place from way up in the sky. So it would be interesting to know her take on the cell phone conversations. Is it possible that people made these calls and that they went through?
Or no, she says no. She says no.
It's not possible.
No.
Okay, no, because most of the experts that I've heard and researched, they claim the same thing, that it's not possible for these calls to have been made from way up in the sky. So, I mean, you know, obviously then they faked a bunch of phone calls for 9/11. I mean, how sick and twisted, you know?
She'll mention that. She'll say why the phone calls were made on the ground in a hangar somewhere. Because she'll mention it plain as day. But
that's what that means. That means. That the fact that these calls cannot be made from there means that these calls were faked and, it, like, you know, just recording audio like we're doing here. Mm. And then portrayed as, you know, these are the victims and whatever. Like, it's sick for our own government to do this crap. And it's not our own government. This is a criminal global cabal that has taken over our government.
Mm.
I mean, to me, it, the same wackos that off JFK probably pulled 9/11. I mean, the same criminal syndicate's been in charge ever since.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because Truther Girl Sonia, I guess her husband, and they went up in an airplane a while back, and they tried their cell phone from up 30,000 feet, whatever, however how high they were, and tried to make a phone call, and it did not work. It's impossible. Because the Wi-Fi towers, they go horizontally, not vertically.
See, with the phone calls, it's no longer, you know, they can no longer play, well, you know, stupid. You know, because that's what the government will do when they start getting caught up in this stuff and exposed. They'll just try to play, oh, well, we didn't know. We didn't take this into consideration. Well, no, you concocted these phone calls. You staged these phone calls. You engaged in, like, I mean, what the hell is, this whole thing is a setup.
This is all treason.
Like, there's no, you know, playing stupid about the whole issue. It's, you know, they took people and they recorded fake phone calls portraying them as the victims on aboard the airplanes on 9/11. And that right there is enough to say, okay, the government's now under criminal investigation. The government is now implicated, 100% implicated. Like, that should wake up the general public to, like, you know, they're implicated. There's a cover-up going on.
Well, back then, we didn't have the technology for cell phones to work 30,000 feet. They wouldn't even work 10,000 feet, really.
Mm-hmm.
When the Wi-Fi goes horizontally, not vertically.
But again, it's because the majority of the population doesn't care about anything. They care about Justin Bieber, Lady Gaga, and American Idol, and that's about it. Like, it's just... It's entertainment. It's all bread and circus. Their whole life is bread and circus. And yeah, some of them will go to work, you know, do their thing, and then it's back to bread and circus. They don't want to go to work and then think about anything real. It's just, you know, bread and circus. Mm-hmm. So, you know, you could get them to weigh in on, you know, say the use of sports, you know, athletes using steroids or, You know, what do you think about Inflategate? Were they cheating in the NFL? With, you know, they'll weigh in, they'll talk for hours about that, but you talk about a real issue, forget about it.
Yeah, exactly.
So that's the closest you'll get to talking about any issue, is try to incorporate their bread and circus into the actual issue. And it's usually nonsense anyway and doesn't matter. So it's unfortunate. And see, with the TSA, remember the TSA started groping people down at the NFL games?
Right, yeah.
Grope down the Groper Bowl.
Groper Bowl, yeah.
Yeah. And then you figure, okay, this is the time we're going to culture jam these buggers and they're going to wake up. No, they just stuck their fingers in their ears and said, no, I like my football too much. Grab my junk. I don't care.
Yeah.
No, I got to be safe from ISIS and Al-Qaeda. Yeah. Watch football.
But it's actually ISIS is groping you.
Yeah, because I'm a 40-year-old, you know, child that watches, you know, men in tights run around in field while I get groped by other men with rubber gloves, because I got to feel safe from ISIS and Al-Qaeda. Because daddy government spent all my tax money creating them organizations to keep me scared so you could take more of my tax money. All right. And now I got to go get groped again because I'm out of popcorn and I need to get back to the ball game.
Yeah.
And so they wrecked the bread and circus and the people are so zombified out. There was little to no resistance to the NFL grope downs by the TSA. Little to none. Most of the resistance was coming from outside, from people who probably don't go to the NFL or don't watch much bread and circus anyway. The ones that did were, you know, you could bend their ear a little bit. You know, they couldn't debate it. They couldn't deny that it was going on. So they just sat there and took it. So I don't know. Go down and get groped by some security goon down at the NFL stadium. Gotta feel safe.
Some guy posts on Facebook, oh, which one do you like the best? And they have a whole bunch of different poison Cokes or Pepsi or Sprite or something like that. Which one of those do you like the best? I just put raw poisons. That's what I commented on there.
I like Avex bleach carbonated for extra
carbonated bleach. Anyways, we got another break coming up after this message. Truth Speakers Radio. Angry Beaver Radio.
The law, not the law of the jungle, governs the conduct of...
Have you ever noticed that even though America spends twice as much as the rest of the world on doctors and medicine, we're still some of the sickest people on the planet? If you think the medical community has failed us and that there must be a better way, then you'll want to tune in for the Your DIY Health radio program here on Truth Frequency Radio. The host, Sergeant Jim Ram, retired, was facing a laundry list of chronic health conditions that his physician was telling him were incurable. He became a student of true medical nutrition and learned how he could reverse every one of his ailments with science-based, clinically verified medical nutrition. In just a few months, he was able to reverse high blood pressure, gastric reflux, sleep apnea, arthritis, degenerative disc disease, heart arrhythmia, and AFib, and many more. He wants to help you do the same. Tune in to Your DIY Health on Truth Frequency Radio every Thursday from 9 to 11 a.m. Eastern. That's 6 to 8 a.m. Pacific.
International mediators in South Sudan's civil war have released their proposed peace agreement. They're hoping to convince both sides to sign on to the deal by the middle of next month.
Under the proposed plan, Salva Kiir would remain as president of a transitional government, which would oversee the writing of a new constitution and organize elections. The rebel leader, Riek Machar, would be appointed to a new post, first vice president. The rebels will get a third of the seats in cabinet and control of the three states most affected by conflict. The two armies would be merged within 18 months, and a neutral force would provide security in the capital, Juba.
That's the BBC's James Copnall. The ex-wife of Jonathan Pollard, the American convicted of spying for Israel, is calling on the Israeli government to pay for an attorney to facilitate his freedom amid international speculation that he could soon be released. This is SRN News. The eight largest American banks being required to bulk up their rainy day funds, SRN's Jeremy House explains.
The Federal Reserve's action means the eight banks together will be required to shore up their financial bases with about $200 billion in additional capital. The idea is to cushion against unanticipated losses and reduce the chances of future taxpayer bailouts. The requirements are also designed to encourage the Wall Street mega banks to shrink so they pose less risk to the financial system. The banks include J.P. Morgan Chase, Citigroup, and Bank of America.
Some 6,500 athletes from 165 countries, the most to converge on Los Angeles since the 84 Summer Olympics, have poured into town this week to hit tennis balls, kick soccer balls, swim laps, ride horses, lift weights, even run a triathlon. It's the 2015 Special Olympics World Games. More details at srnnews.com.
Frequency with Chris and Shuri Geo. Friday and Saturday on Truth Frequency Radio.
What is at stake is more than one small country. It is a big idea, a new world order.
All right.
The blue on the sea. Loose and complete under sky, so smoky blue-green. I can't foresee a Dixie did she, so we danced the sidewalk clean. My memory is muddy, what's this river that I'm near? New Orleans is sinking, man, and I don't want to swim.
Welcome back to Angry Beaver Radio here on the Truth Frequency Radio Network, broadcasting live from globalist Mother Kanadistan. And what do we got here, guys?
I was just wanting to mention, did you see a picture or video of the Queen Mum and the rest of the family it was a long time ago doing the Nazi salute?
Heil Hitler salute.
Yeah, they're doing the Hitler salute.
Queen, Swamp Thing, Queen Fukushima Swamp Thing was doing the goose step in a Heil Hitler with her siblings and her parents,
yeah,
huh?
Yeah, exactly.
Interesting. Wow. Well, they're not even British, aren't they? They're German or Transylvanian or something.
I know, Queen Elizabeth's husband is German, Mountbatten.
Yeah, so how does a queen move to a completely other country and rule from there? How does that work? How do you get authority to even do that? Doesn't even make sense. Not that kings and queens make any sense in the first place, but.
Yeah.
Even in that, you know, I don't see how they move to another faraway land and take over that area.
Well, maybe they're exempted, from everything else. They can be born in England, and they can go to any other country. So we the people are the ones got the chains around our feet.
The mainstream media was in a panic mode and into damage control over this leaked footage of the Queen Fukushima Swamp Thing. Goose stepping into Hitler, doing the Hitler dance. And, so they're in damage control trying to downplay it, and they're trying to say how it's all taken out of context. What do you mean? What other context was there at that time? Mm. Think of the time period that was in, the time of Hitler. And, what was the goose stepping and the whole Heil Hitler thing? I mean, what was that from? It was from Hitler, from that time period.
Yep.
So it was completely in the context of being a Nazi lover. The Queen of England is a Nazi lover. Goose stepping with her Nazi Hitler parents. Queen Hitler. I don't know. It's just a joke to me. It's all a joke.
Yeah.
They're a joke. I mean, they're a bunch of inbred, crooked tooth swamp creatures. They run around with crowns on their heads, and they claim they own everything. I think they're mentally insane and belong in an insane asylum. What other human being on this planet can gallivant around with a crown on her head? You know?
Which is pretty tight on their head.
Yeah, and just claim they own everything. Doesn't make any sense, so.
We can't.
What you were
that.
Saying, Mike, what you were yeah. saying, Mike, is exactly what you were saying is even the Bush family, like George Bush and his two daughters coming off an airplane, and they're, three of them are doing Illuminati hand signs, so that's the same thing as what
yeah.
the royal family was
horns,
doing.
Yeah, the devil
Of
horns.
Course, same thing, man.
Yeah, Clinton does it. I think Prince William did it, I believe.
Oh, yeah, sure. They all do it,
yeah. Well, they all do it.
And it's the same site, too, but some people don't know.
Oh, they think it's the Texas Longhorn.
Yeah, yeah, that's right.
But if it's Texas Longhorn, why would the Prince William be doing it?
I think the royal family needs to be kicked off of the welfare system. They can get a job and pay their own bills like the rest of the world. Seriously, kick them off the system. No more, you know, well, and then all these ridiculous claims they have on these lands. Sorry, that's null and void. That's done.
So we
they don't own the British family. You know, rightfully does not own Australia or New Zealand or Canada or any of these other supposed British colonies. This idea right. that, like, why? What gives her the power? She's just an inbred, snaggletooth, Fukushima swamp creature, and we're gonna let this thing rule over us and just claim, well, I own 3/4 of Canada. Well, why? How?
Mm-hmm.
No, how about you don't? How about, no, you don't? Who'd you buy it from? You know?
Mm-hmm.
What, the Hudson Bay Company? Well, who'd they get it? How'd they acquire it? Who'd they buy it from? Oh, they didn't know they stole it, huh? Okay. Sure.
Well, they stole the land and then
lawfully, no, they don't own any of it. But yeah, they do own it. They do own all the bloody land. And why are we letting them get away with it? Because they're just a bunch of measly inbred pieces of garbage. You know, every other human being on the planet is more valuable than they are or their family. Because most people aren't a bunch of inbred swamp trash. Like the royal family is. The royal family is a bunch of inbred swamp trash and they can't even, you know, I don't think between all of them put together, they don't have a set of straight teeth. You know, that's bad genetics. That's just bad DNA. You know, like their idol Hitler. Their Hitler would have had them off to the gulags to get rid of them. They're undesirables. They're physically unfit. You know, they're not a fine specimen of human being. You can't even get a set of straight teeth out of all of them combined. So, you know, there's something genetically wrong with them. And they, you know, undesirable. According to their buddy Hitler there, who they're goose stepping to.
Yeah.
But it's ridiculous. At what point are we going to say, you don't own this land? You have no jurisdiction over this land. When are Canadians going to say that? Because look it up. Crown land. That's owned by the Queen.
Yep.
You think we're an independent nation? No. Australia, most of the land they got crown land owned by the Queen. This is going on all over the world. Most of the land is owned by that royal family, and it's not. They don't lawfully own any of this crap. They don't own anything. They don't even own anything in Britain. They're a bunch of welfare queens. That's the only type of queen they are, welfare queens. The biggest welfare queen on the face of the planet. The Duchess of York. The pedophile princess, Duchess of York.
So that means the IRS doesn't own anybody? Is that the same thing?
Well, there's some speculation that some of that IRS money is getting back to the Queen. But that's more of an American issue. I haven't delved too far into that, but I've heard some Americans talk about that it's questionable where all this IRS money is going, and there's questions raised that some of it doesn't end up getting back there somehow.
No, it's all fiat currency anyway.
But you're in terms of the America, no, I don't believe there's any crown land in America. But if you look up all the crown lands around the world, the crown owns the majority of the land. I think the Vatican comes in at number 3 or something. So they have a lot of holdings too.
So then what country do you go to actually buy the land and it's actually yours? You have that deed.
Not buy the land, just live on the land.
Yeah, I don't know if there is one that you can. I don't know of one because even, you know, you buy some land here, well, you got to pay annual taxes on it, which is rent, so you don't own it. If you get behind in your taxes, they'll take the land. So you never owned it. You never bought it. So it's a lie. It's a fraud that you can buy land here.
Of course.
You know what I mean? It's.
So well, what happens if I want to move my house then? If I don't own the land, I bought that structure. I want to take that structure and move it somewhere else.
Yeah, you could do that, but it would cost you, it'd end up costing a lot to move.
Yeah.
But yeah, you are like, you do actually own the physical house. So you could do that, but yeah, that's the problem with land ownership is I don't know of anywhere that actually has it.
That's right.
Most of the places that pretend they do, they charge annual taxes on it under the threat of taking your land away. That's just extortion by government mafia.
But it's my land. How can they take my land away from me?
For simply existing. So because you exist, the government mafia is going to threaten you to take your money or take your land. Yeah, that's freedom, eh? That's like a land of the free. So yeah, there's property rights. What property rights? It's the illusion of property rights, the illusion of property ownership. We don't have it here.
But, yeah. But you should be able to stay in that house because that's your structure. As long as your feet are not touching the land itself. But I guess
buy a houseboat. That's all I could tell you about that. Get a houseboat.
Well, I think that's probably bought up and sold too.
Yeah, we don't own the water as well.
No, I know. That's the loophole. Go get a houseboat. Get it on the water and anchor it. They can't charge you land tax for anchoring your boat. They can't. Wow. That's the one way around it, but it's so cold up here. I mean, you can't leave your boat in the frozen water. You end up getting crushed by ice. What are you going to do? End up having to throw your boat up on land and paying marinas. It's the amount of money you'd end up paying marinas for dock space or storage. It'd be the same as renting an apartment probably.
Yeah. Well, at the marina, it's still Crown land too, right? They're still on Crown land.
Some aren't. It's really.
Most of them are private.
Well, I mean, it was all Crown land at one time, and then it became private land, where they pay taxes to the government for it. So a lot of Crown land was Crown land, became private, like, you know, private land. So does the Queen still technically own it? I don't know if she holds any rights to it, but what I'm saying is, if you look up the amount of Crown land, which is most of the wooded areas, most of the uninhabited areas in Canada, it's like, I don't know, 75-80% of the country is Crown land, so.
But what if she steps foot on in our yard? Is she trespassing?
I don't know.
She just come on to my yard.
I don't know.
She owns it. She owns the land, right? So she can come on to it. I'm pretty sure.
Yeah. I'm not sure if she still owns and has any land rights on the private land that's been segmented off.
But why, what gets me, where I sometimes go, I see private property at some person's house. How can it be private property when you don't even own the land? It doesn't make sense.
Yeah, but it's the facade of property ownership. That's what we have here.
Yeah.
We have a facade of property ownership, so they trick the people into thinking they own the land, yet they have to pay an extortion mafia crime syndicate thousands of dollars a year, or they'll tell them they can't live there. So who owns the land? The crime mafia that's extorting you out of that money every year. That's who owns the land for real.
It's a private property, no trespassing.
So yeah, I mean, like, you know, you can use that to keep other people off, but at the end of the day, you don't really own the land. All you own is that illusion of ownership.
But what if happens if you have friends that are living, let's say, in that townhome complex and it says private property, you know, stuff like that? What happens if you want to go visit your friends that are in that complex? If you step into that complex, trespassing.
No, it wouldn't be trespassing. It wouldn't be. Like, say your friend has, you know, it's the same as your friend. Just say you got a friend down the road. He's got a, you know, he's out in the sticks and he's got a sign that says no trespassing. But you know him, he's your friend.
Yeah.
He knows you drop over all the time. You're not going to not go over there. You're going to ignore the sign because he's your friend. You're just going to go, hey, what's going on, Joe or Fred or whoever? So it'd be the same, you know. But I've never seen a no trespassing sign in a townhouse complex. That would be odd because that can't apply to anyone because it's a common area.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe it could apply to if you got a tiny front or backyard like some of them do. It's not much of one. It's a tiny patch of yard. And you'd actually have to look up, on the actual complexes, you know, how they draw it out. Because some of them, it's all common area. Some of them, yeah, you do have your own little front or backyard and it's explicitly yours. And yeah, you could tell people to get out of here, but some of them aren't, designated like that. And even though you have a tiny little front and backyard, it's technically considered common area to the entire complex.
Yeah.
So, but even still, say you did have some privacy, some property rights on that tiny little patch of grass, you could put up a sign. But, you know, your friends coming over, they're going to ignore the sign because, of course, they're allowed there. They're your friends.
Yeah.
So they're not worried about, you know, getting charged for trespassing.
Yeah, you're not going to worry about anybody coming up to you and saying, do you live here, sir, or ma'am, or whatever?
Yes. I mean, like a trespassing sign, I guess it's good for people who are worried about thieves or somebody coming to steal stuff from their house. If they have a sign up, the thief can't say, oh, well, there was no sign and I was just cutting through or I was lost. You know, they play all these, you know, games in court. So if there's a no trespassing sign visible and then a thief does go on to the property that, you know, you don't technically own, the government crime mafia owns. But that aside, that's to protect you from the other thieves, not the higher up thieves.
Yeah, not the higher up thieves, lower level.
There's no protection there.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it'd be nice if the no trespassing sign protected you from the government thieves extorting you every year for the tax money. That would be nice.
It would be, wouldn't it?
Yeah, if it would. See, that's the issue with the no trespassing sign. It's not that it's that it only applies to a certain group of thieves and criminals. It doesn't apply to the government thieves that are extorting you every year for the property making it so you don't actually own it.
I agree with you.
So I don't know. It's a catch 22.
Yeah.
But
I thought I'd bring that up, because I was always thinking, you know, all these, no trespassing signs and do not enter and all this kind of stuff. And, you know, enter at your own risk. Beware of dog.
Enter at own risk. That's really just saying, you know, like if you get hurt here, you can't sue us. That's what those are. You know, and that's not really a bad sign. That's basically saying, well, you can use this land. This is our land. You want to be here, fine. But if you get hurt, don't come crying to us with a lawyer in a lawsuit trying to sue us because we put up a sign that said use at your own risk.
Yeah.
You'll see it on little, you know, private roads or private gravel roads that are on private property that are not city maintained or publicly paid for, you know, the guy down at the end of the road, he's got to use that road and it cuts through your property. If he gets in an accident or somebody gets hurt, you don't want to get sued. So they put up a sign that says use it on risk. That's the best sign out there.
Yeah.
And the reason is because banning of tobogganing here in Canada, not Canada wide, but certain municipalities banned tobogganing after getting sued because somebody went down a hill at a park and hurt them and then successfully sued the city. So then city started banning tobogganing. With the threat of $5,000 fines and no tobogganing signs put up at any hill anywhere. And it's like, it's simple. Just put up a sign that says, use at own risk. You know?
That's more protection for yourself.
There's a bigger problem there because it's like, you know, like what part, like do we really even need that? Are people that dumb that, how is it my fault? You went to Canadian Tire and you bought a crazy carpet or a toboggan or a GT snow racer and you're like, I'm going to buy this and I'm going to go to the hill and I'm going to crash into some trees or hit a jump and fly into the creek and drown or break my leg. I'm just how is that my fault? Like, how is that anyone else's fault other than the person that decided to do that? Did the city or anyone else force that person to go buy the toboggan and go tobogganing and risk themselves and get injured? No, that was their own choice. Therefore, how the hell can you sue anyone for it?
Well, you can injure yourself as you walk out the front door, trip over something and fall down and break your arm or something.
I know. So, I mean, this whole sue culture has just gotten to the point of ridiculousness. And it's like, you know, to me, I don't think the answer is in any kind of sign. We don't need to ban tobogganing or put use it on wrist signs up. It just should be common sense. And if people are too dumb to figure it out, then oh well. It's called, what do they call that? The Darwin?
Yeah.
Win awards or something.
Mm-hmm.
Let the herd thin themselves out.
Yeah. Or if you go to the lake, some lake that has no lifeguard or anything like that, they just put up a sign. Swim at own risk.
I'm gonna go drown myself in Lake Ontario and then sue the government of Ontario for not having a lifeguard in my back pocket when I needed one.
Yeah.
Like, it's just like, what level do we take this? It's just, are we just gonna be children forever?
Mm.
And it's everyone else's fault. I fell off my bike. I won $1 million from the guy at the bike place because he didn't sell me training wheels.
Where the nuts and everything were all loose and it came apart as I was going down the hill.
Well, you know, you might have a case for that because if you paid a guy to install the bike and put it together, a professional assembler, say you paid 30, 40, 50 bucks, whatever the extra charge is, and then the thing falls apart, well, you got hurt, you could have a case. But if you took a perfectly fine bike and you drove it off a ramp into a tree, well, it's not the guy who built the bike's fault that happened. Nothing to do with him.
It's all about you.
Yeah, but I mean, that assembly, and I've dealt with that, you can't trust the assemblers. That's the crappy part. Something that you could sue people for never gets addressed, like bicycle assembly. You go to any of these big box stores, they're not assembling them properly and they're falling out the door. People are riding them away as they fall apart.
Exactly. Cause that's what, cause I went to the bike zone, which is not too far from me, Cawthron and Dundas, near the Chinese Center. And I went in there and we're talking about bicycles that are department store, like your Walmart, your Kmart, Zellers or whatever. And they're telling me that they give you the illusion that these are actually good quality bikes, but they are not quality bikes. They are low end quality bikes. And he was telling me that he bought a Canadian Tire bicycle, looked pretty good, and he drove it and all the equipment started falling off it. So he had to bring it to the bike zone and have everything put together. And they were just saying that that's what happens when you buy a department store bikes. They're all going to fall apart. They're no good quality. They're cheap quality. And they say if you want good quality, you're going to have to pay the price. And, the bike zone got like 1,200 bicycles there and components and accessories and, oh, you name it. They got bicycles like from $300 right up to $7,000-$8,000 for a bicycle.
This kind of nonsense could cause legitimate lawsuits where it was the fault of the other party. Mm-hmm. But when it's somebody's own fault for injuring themselves, we let them sue and we ban everything. But you go to any department store and they're just flinging out bikes that are half put together, loosened up, ready to just fall apart.
Yeah.
People are wiping out everywhere. Nothing happened. You know, no changes made. But somebody hurts themselves doing something stupid on a bicycle and it's everyone else's fault. Let's sue, sue, sue.
Yeah. If you do a wheelie and you fall backwards and hit your head or something like that, that's everybody else's fault, not yours.
Yeah. No, we had one bike, the handlebars ripped right out and the back wheel fell off right out of the department store. And they charge you extra for assembly because they have the boxes in a bicycle. Or the bicycles in a box that are
right,
a little bit cheaper. Or you can have the floor model for a little bit more money because it's already assembled. So it's, you know, 30 bucks or something more.
Yeah.
So you're paying for a service. You assume it's assembled, ready to ride, not ready to fall apart in traffic where you're going down the 401, which shouldn't be on a bicycle, but hey, I'm a wild man.
Yeah, well, I take risks.
So, what do you guys think? These HOV lanes, the carpool lanes on the 401 around the city, right? Now, these were set up for the Scam Am games or the Trans Am games, the Pan Am games, whatever you want to call it, the multi-billion dollar theft of the Canadian people. These HOV lanes, there's been a bunch of controversy because it's caused traffic woes. People are putting in blow-up dolls in their cars to try to get to work on time because nobody's using these lanes, but they're not allowed in them because they are not carpooling. You even got people taken to Kijiji and Craigslist advertising their services that you could pay somebody to cart to sit in your car to drive to Toronto in the carpool lane so you can get to work on time. And these people aren't going to Toronto. They're just going to sit there and mess around in the city till you have to go back. And you can pay these people to act as your mannequin. You can pay live people to be a mannequin to sit in your car to drive, get to work, to get to Toronto for your Agenda 21 carpool lane. And so now Kim Jong-un is debating on whether to make these carpool lanes permanent. They're only supposed to be here for the duration of the games to make it easier for the people to get back and forth that are participating in the games. That was the excuse. She wants to make them permanent and turn them into toll lanes. Toll road lanes.
But this HOV lane, tell you how really busy it is. The police clocked this woman going 140 clicks down HOV lanes not too long ago.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
There was nobody on there. She's just going like crazy.
Well, this is the scam. Those roads are paid for with our tax money, and now they want to charge us a toll on a road that we already pay for. We already pay the maintenance on the road. We pay for the road. Now you want to charge us a toll to use the road. It's getting ridiculous.
It is.
And wait a second, like this HOV lane, this was supposed to be temporary for these games. Now you want to make it permanent and make it a toll lane. So, I mean, it's a scam. The scam just keeps going on with these scam-am games.
Well, the only way you're going to be using it if you carpool, like, three to five people in the car. How many people do you see three or four or five in a car? Usually just maybe, two at most.
Well, you know, some people may like the idea, like, I'll pay a little bit extra just so I don't have to sit in traffic. Well, that only worked for a little bit until everyone has to do it because there's no way they can even get to work on time if they do the other way. And then it's backed up to being jammed up the way it was before. So now there's no advantage to being in the regular lane or the carpool lane and paying the extra money. Now you're just paying triple the amount. You paid to build the roads, you pay to maintain the roads, and now you get to pay for each time you use the roads. You know, I wouldn't be opposed to toll roads if I didn't have to pay for the damn road in the first place.
We have before us the
opportunity. End of the show, guys.
For ourselves and for future generations.
Take it easy, guys.
Thank you all for listening. Order. Yes, thank you.
A world with a rule of law. Not the law of the jungle governs the conduct of nations. When we
Truth Frequency Radio is your number one source for news and information without the hate, hype, and fear. We are proud to bring you cutting-edge programs like The Kev Baker Show,
The Christopher Everard Show,
The Freedom Link with Joe Joseph,
Truth Frequency with Chris and Shuri Geo,
Strange World
with Mark Sargent,
X-Squared with Brooks Agnew,
Down the Rabbit Hole with Popeye,
Freaky Friday
with The Woo Crew,
Waking Up the Masses
with Robert Bruce,
Phoenix Rising Radio,
and dozens more.
Did you know you can listen from any computer, mobile device, or from any telephone by dialing 832-225-5308.
Or call into your favorite show toll-free at 866-37-TRUTH.
Uncensored talk and news you won't hear in the mainstream media.
24 hours a day.
Truth Frequency Radio. Wherever you are, make it TFR.
Truth Frequency Radio.
With SRN News, I'm Rich Thomason in Washington.